I want this morning to bring you a message that God has laid in my heart from a great verse. It's the sixth verse of the fourth chapter of Zechariah. I think this whole fourth chapter is a message to us as a church. You know, that's a great verse. Verse 10, "For who hath despised the day of small things?" And some of the older members with us this morning can remember the day of small things. I remember when we had just a few dozens present on a Lord's Day morning. I remember when we started our Easter convention, we held our morning service in the prayer room, and we had exactly 16 people present. And now we have seen as many as 1,000 people at our morning Easter convention meeting. So we have had our small day, our day of small things. And people did despise it. By the old Irish Presbyterian Church, they despised it. I saw a presbytery report, I was looking it up the other day, from the Root Presbytery Ballymoney. And they said there is no free Presbyterian church in our presbytery. We had a church meeting in a barn loft at that time. Thank God we have a lovely church in Kebra, and they've just bought ground the other day to build a cathedral in Ballymoney. They say they're going to outbid the Ravenhill people in their building program. So there you are. Yes, they despised the day of small things. I think, you know, when we were meeting in tents and in barn lofts, some of us were a lot nearer to the Lord. And I trust because we're moving into a beautiful new church edifice tomorrow, next Lord's Day, I trust God will continue to keep us humble before Him. Would be a terrible thing if a Laodicean spirit broke out in the church, and we said we were rich and increased with goods and in need of nothing, and didn't realize that we were poor, miserable sinners, but for the mighty intervention of divine and sovereign grace. So we have had our day of small things, and we were despised. I remember when the Free Presbyterian Church fired its first salvo in Cross Gar, in the little tin mission hall in Killalea Street. When we were going up that day to open it, the people came out and spat upon us. There was one man came in and the spittles were down the back of his coat. I was out in Cross Gar the other Lord's Day, and we had over 2,000 people, and no one was spitting. They were all cheering now. Yes, we have had our day of small things, and we were despised. And we're still despised, and may the Lord still keep us despised. No, when the Salvation Army was despised, it was a mighty thing. When the brethren were despised, they were mighty. But when they got respectable and got recognized, the power left them. I trust it will always be a term of reproach to be a Free Presbyterian. I trust that when people are going up the road to the new church, they'll say, "There's that bunch of right-wing Paisleyites going up there." Amen. I trust we'll keep that. And as long as I live, I'm going to keep you from being respectable, madam. I am indeed. I'm going to work at it with all my heart. We're not going to fall into any sort of ritual or any sort of deadness. Praise God, we're going to have the old-fashioned fire in our souls. For this is the only thing that can do the job for the Lord. So the day of small things has been with us, and we were happy then. And then God brought the people in and got them out of apostasy. And then one day Terence O'Neill came along and popped me into prison. It was the best thing he ever did. And I found hundreds of friends, and this church took a great leap forward. And then he put us in a second time, and we jumped over the wall. And that's what the Bible says, "By thy grace I will leap over the wall." And we have leaped over the walls of opposition. And next Lord's Day, he's bringing us into the promised land. Hallelujah. and we're going to get the honey out of the rock and the old corn off the land. The Lord has done. Now there's another verse here. You know, there's questions in this chapter. I could preach him these questions this morning. Who hath despised the day of small things? And then verse 7, who art thou, O great mountain? And my, there's been great mountains of opposition to us. The General Assembly with its apostasy and power. The Church of Ireland with its bishops and its garters and its gaiters. The Methodists with their apostasy. They've all been battling against us. But we can say, who art thou great General Assembly? The Lord can deal with you. Who art thou bench of bishops in the apostate Episcopal Church? Who art thou? You know what it says here? Thou shalt be me become a plain. We're going up to Stormont on Tuesday, and we're looking up at the white elephant, and we're saying, who art thou white elephant? My God can cut Captain Long short and make him a plain, can't they? Can indeed. I want to tell you, God's in this business. Yes, who art thou great mountain? There's not a mountain, friend, that God cannot level. Maybe you have some mountain in front of you, and my, to you, it's an Everest. I want to tell you, God can level it. And he can level it today by an act of faith in your heart. If you have faith, you can say to this mountain, be thou removed, and it'll be cast into the sea. Hallelujah. And God can bury your mountains in the seas of victory to the honor and the glory of his great name. Oh, this is a great chapter. And you know, it says in this chapter, it starts off, I like the way this chapter starts off. It's good for Sunday morning. The Lord waked him out of his sleep. The Lord needs to awaken the whole lot of us, doesn't he? This is what the church needs, a great awakening. Well, there's a lot of Christians come to church and their eyes are open, but they're not awakened. But the Lord wants to waken us up today. He wants to stir us to the very depths of our soul that we'll be really awakened. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you, when the Lord awakens us, there'll be great things to the honor and the glory of his name. May the Lord awaken us. That's where it starts off. And when the Lord awakens us, then we see something. Now I want to preach to you today upon that verse, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And what better text could we end our ministry with in this hall? And what better text could we go out with this week and occupy our new church for Jesus' sake? It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Now I want to preach very simply on three points. We have the text illustrated, we have the text expounded, and we have the text experienced. So it's quite simple. The text illustrated, the text expounded, and the text experienced. Now how is it illustrated? It is illustrated in this candlestick. You know, dear young believer and older believer, don't gallop through the Word of God. I had a man came to me and he said to me, I read 14 Psalms every day. I said, how much do you take in? You know, some of God's people think that there's something going to come to them if they read so many chapters every day. Friend, you'll miss the blessing. I'm fond of roast beef. But if my wife set half a cow on the table every day, I would soon be sick of it. And my friend, you people can't read the Word of God like that. Just take one verse. Just take a phrase. You know, there's a phrase here or a verse, a word here, a candlestick. And you would do well to take the whole Bible and mark every time a candlestick occurs. And I want to tell you, you'll get a blessing from the candlestick. I'll tell you something about this candlestick. There was no candle grease in it. It wasn't a popish candlestick. But it went by the oil and not by the candle grease. Hallelujah! I'm glad there's no popery in the book anyway, not even in the candlestick. But you know, the candlestick is a great lesson in Scripture. Do you remember that dear woman of God that wanted to have the prophet in her house? She was a wise woman, for if you bring a man of God into your house, God will bless you, you know. Because some have entertained angels unawares. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, says the book, for some have entertained angels unawares. And she said, we'll make a little room in the wall, and we'll give them a bed and a table and a chair and a candle. Now, every one of those things that were in the room of Elijah have a spiritual significance. They're God's provision for the man of God. And you can study them out for yourself. Candlestick occurs in the tabernacle. It occurs in the temple. And then it occurs in the New Testament. And you get the significance of it in Revelation chapter 1. Turn to Revelation chapter 1. And you'll find the significance. It says in verse 12 of Revelation 1, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And then in verse 20, we read the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. So it's a type of the church. And the church is just a candlestick. You say that's a very poor thing in the world. How will that candlestick conquer the world? My friend, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now there are seven things about this candlestick. I can't, of course, preach them, the whole seven of them this morning, or you would have a burnt offering for your dinner. But I can show you its significance. It represents the church. Its substance, it's of pure gold. The church never came into existence by man. The church came into existence by God. And I'm not talking about bricks and mortar now. I'm talking about living stones that are buried into the church. And I'm glad that's what God's doing in this church. He's building his church. On Thursday, I was down at the... On Wednesday, I should tell you, if you weren't at the prayer meeting, you missed the blessing on Wednesday. A dear man and his wife from Bloomfield Presbyterian Church called at my man's, and I had the great joy of pointing them to Christ. Isn't that something to praise God for? My, they don't go to Alfie Martin or John Withers when they want to come to the Savior. I was down at Kilkee last night, I must tell you this, and when I finished, James McClellan said to me, he says, I want you to do something. I want you to come and visit a man that's ill. I said, I'm very happy to do it. And we went away up into the moors, away up into the mountains, and up a lane, and up to an old farmstead. Went in through the door. This dear man was lying on his bed. And he put out his hand, and he grasped mine. He says, I'm glad you've come. My name's John Nugent. And his wife said, Mr. Paisley, I was saved in your mission last September. And I said, praise the Lord for that. And this man says, he said, your minister, James McClellan, came here and I took a heart attack. And he lifted me up in his arms and he took me out to the car and took me to hospital. And he said, the other ministers of the town came and they had nothing for me. But he said, your minister was able to point me to Jesus. And he said, sir, I'm saved. You know, I said to my wife coming away, if that's all the Free Presbyterian Church ever accomplished, it was worthwhile. Wasn't it? We were down in Larne on Thursday preaching. Great meeting. They threw a squib at the prayer meeting, so I knew God was going to bless. My, when the old devil's throwing squibs at you, the Lord's going to bless you. And we had a great meeting. You know who was saved? The church warden of the Church of Ireland. That's not bad shooting when a Free Presbyterian bring down a man like that. It's not bad shooting. We had a great meeting. And at the end of this meeting, a dear young girl came out weeping. And I had the great joy of pointing her to Christ. And as I was pointing her to Christ, the door of the inquiry room opened, and a man and his wife came in and knelt down. I didn't know who they were. And when I had finished speaking to the young lassie, I said, "Now, are any of your friends Christians? Do any of them know Christ?" She says, "No." I said, "What about your daddy and mammy?" She says, "No, there's neither of them saved, Mr. Beasley." And then this man and this woman rose up and they put their arms round her and they kissed her. And I said, "Who are you?" And the man says, "I'm her father and this is her mother. We would like to be saved." And I had the great joy of pointing them to Christ. He's the church warden in the Church of Ireland. And his dear wife and his daughter. Isn't that lovely? And then we had another young man whose brother is a member of our church and a hard worker. And he has been praying for his brother ever since God saved him himself and his brother got gloriously saved. Pure gold! That's something the world can't do. That's something that the World Council of Churches or the Pope can't do. But praise God, Jesus can do it. Church is of pure gold. It's not by might nor by power. That's its substance. Look at its supply. It's gold and oil. My, I like that. Gold and oil. And my, when you have the gold and oil of the Spirit, things go. That's why this church is gone, because we have had the Spirit of the Lord. That's why. Anything this church has done, it has been by the power of the Spirit of God. You, some of you newer members, don't know the struggles we have had. But we used to have a lot of empty seats in Ravenhill. And those empty seats worried this preacher. And I used to get a group of men together on a Friday night. And you know what we used to do? We used to go down those empty seats and pray on them. And say, "Lord, nobody sits in this seat. There never has been a sinner saved in this seat. Lord, start and fill up this seat and sea of sinners." And God answered prayer. My, I could spend hours telling you of the victories we had in those early days. And you know, when a soul was saved in those early days, we were so filled with rejoicing that we shouted. The dear brother in the meeting here this morning, and he got saved and he never got his mouth open for a year after he was saved. He was a quiet Christian. And a year after he was saved, he came to me and he says, "This is my birthday." I said, "Happy birthday to you." He says, "I'm a year old, but," he says, "I've never given my testimony." So I said, "Well, you'll give it now." He says, "Where?" Says, "I'm in the middle of the Ravenhill Road." So we walked out, the both of us, into the middle of the Ravenhill Road, and he gave his testimony. I said, "You've got your mouth open," and he has opened it ever since. His wife can't get it closed now. He's really in blessing. I want to tell you, my friend, God did great things for us. We had the golden oil, and this is what we need in this church. It's not by might nor by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Was the golden oil and that sermon in the television, friend, that brought that man and his woman to Jesus Christ after we had finished. It wasn't the preaching. God can take the simplest of preaching and use it to his glory. We're only a pack of nobodies and nothings, but God is deemed fit to lift us and to make us a power for God in this land for his truth. Why? Because of the golden oil. May God shower it upon us this morning. Brother, if your heart has never been filled with the Holy Ghost, may it be filled this morning. Sister, if your soul has never been set ablaze with this golden oil, may it be set ablaze this morning. And then look at it shining. Oh, it's shining. It's a shining candle. It has a sevenfold brightness. It's shining in a sevenfold manner. You know, in the tabernacle, the priest had snuffers. And they were like big scissors, and they were to snuff the wick of the candlestick, you see? Because when the candlestick burned a while, the old charred remains of the part that burned caused a smoke. And so the priest went round with these snuffers and he snuffed the candle wick. And you know, my friend, God needs to take us snuffers and deal with us. And I want to say something now. We had a dear brother of our congregation who passed suddenly into eternity early on Tuesday morning. Our brother, Mr. Moore. And I want to say that our sympathy goes out to our dear sister, Mrs. Moore, this morning. But you know, as I was sitting with our sister yesterday, she was just talking about what the Lord was doing. And you know, bereavement is just like the snuffers that the priest took. The Lord has to trim our wicks at times. You know why? So that we can burn more brightly for Jesus. That's why. If you never had that heartache, you wouldn't be as close to the Lord. If you never had had that illness, you wouldn't have loved the Lord the way you do. The psalmist said, it was good for me to be afflicted, for before I was afflicted, I went astray. If I had never been twice in prison, I wouldn't be the preacher that I am today. God was using the snuffer, friend. He was trimming the lamp, what to do, that it might burn more brightly for Jesus. Hallelujah. You're a better Christian because the Lord has used the rod on you. I have two boys at home. I use the rod on them at times. They need it. And they're far better after they get the rod. My, they sit like angels for about a week after it, till the old man gets up in them again. It's good for you to have the rod. Never did you a button of harm. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. He loves you, friend. That's why you're in the valley. He loves you. That's why there's tears in your eyes. He loves you. That's why there's a pain in your heart. He loves you. That's why there's darkness in the sky. He loves you. Praise God. He's just snuffing the wick so that it may burn brighter. And all the problems we have had and all the problems we're going to have, God's just dealing with us to get us to burn brightly. It was a sevenfold brightness. Seven in Scripture is the Word of God. Look at its service. Its service is indicated by the outside trees. And these trees give a perpetual supply. Do you know what it says in the Word of God? The man that hath the Spirit of God, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, the overflow in service is going to reach others. You come into this church filled with the Spirit of God, you're going to bless the man and woman sitting next to you. And that's what the Lord wants you to do. There's its service. And then look at its source. Its source is divine. Look at verse 14. These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. And then last of all, look at its secret. Its secret is a mystery. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, nor whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. My friend, our time is over, more than over. But it's not by might nor by power. There's the illustration of it. You can go home and expound it yourself. The word might means collective might, so it's not by an army. And the word power means individual power, so it's not by my own cleverness. You can have the army and be defeated. You can be clever and you can be defeated. But if you've got the Spirit of God, you're going to win. And that's why this church is going to win. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And you know, you can experience that power now in your life. There's a man here that's empty, God can fill you. If there's a man here that's hungry, God can satisfy you. If there's someone here and there's a great need in your heart, praise God, that can be supplied now by the Spirit of God. Let's encourage ourselves in the Lord.